If you'd like to turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. What I'm going to do over the next few weeks is hopefully unpack the whole of 2 Timothy. So that's where we're starting. Chapter 1, verse 1. So I'll read it from the New American Standard Bible. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. So, when was it written? So we'll go into a little bit of history first. So I believe Paul was in his last imprisonment before he died. So I'm jumping around my notes. I've gone to Paul first rather than Timothy. It wasn't the time when he was imprisoned and he had his own house. It was the very last time that he was in prison, shortly before his death, where he was in chains like a common criminal. At this point, he was lonely. As we read through 2 Timothy, we see that there are people that have just left him behind. And he longs to see Timothy, who he treats as if he was his own son. And I'll go back into that in a few minutes. Why did he write to Timothy? One, he was lonely and he wanted to see Timothy again. He knew his time was near. I bet you guys that have got sons and daughters, if you knew your time was near, you'd want your family there with you. He wanted to encourage Timothy. Nero was the ruler of the time. The church was in persecution. He wanted to encourage Timothy that we're going to go through sufferings, we're going to go through persecution, but stick to what he'd taught him. He also wanted this letter to be shared with the church. If you look at the very last verse, which is 4:22, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. The "your" in that bit is singular. So he's speaking directly to Timothy there, Lord, be with your spirit. But grace be with you, the "you" is plural, indicating that this letter is not just for Timothy, it's for the church. And as I open up about Timothy, we'll know that Timothy was commissioned by Paul to look after the church at Ephesus. So, now we've looked at why Paul's writing, let's look at who Timothy is. Timothy's a young man. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. So that he's saying Timothy's a young man. Now, he's been sent to Ephesus to help with the church and the problems in the church. Now, if we'd been sent a 21-year-old straight out of Bible college, would we trust them wholeheartedly because they've no life experience? Would we treat them differently to, say, Pastor Johnny, who came around the age of 40-ish, give or take a year? sending this young man into a church, he needs to encourage him. Paul looked on Timothy as if he was his own son. We read in 1 Corinthians 4, 15 to 17. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Not only is he saying he's a beloved and faithful child in the Lord, he treats him as his own son. Paul held him in high regard as well. Back a step. Treating him as his own son. 1 Timothy 1:2. 2 Timothy 1:2. Both scriptures, he refers to Timothy as his son. The first one, son in the faith. Second one, his son. So Paul held him in high regard despite his youthfulness. And we can read in Philippians 2:19 to 24. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly. So, Paul trusts Timothy. And as we unpick in the future weeks, we'll see why Paul trusts him and what Paul wants him to do within the church. So, where was Timothy from? His father was a Greek and his mother was a Jewish Christian. And from an early age, he was taught the Old Testament. So he has good knowledge. So someone that's just been to Bible college has only done the studying for 3 years. This is someone who's been studying for a long time. He's been there, he's done it, he's learnt the scriptures. We read on Paul's second visit to Lystra, he invited Timothy to join him in his missionary work. And he had Timothy circumcised so that there wouldn't be any issues with the Jews. Timothy spent a long time with Paul on the missionary field until Paul commissioned him to stay with the Ephesus church. So we know that Timothy's teaching, he's seen it all firsthand from Paul. We can also read that Timothy is accredited to have been co-sender of 6 of Paul's letters. Pastor spoke briefly about this when he spoke about Luke this morning. A co-sender is the person that authenticates what he's written. He's not a co-writer, but a co-sender. So, as we saw this morning in Luke, all these different people that were writing about Jesus, there was only certain ones that will have been authenticated. Timothy had the knowledge and the understanding to be able to authenticate. And Paul wouldn't have put him as a co-sender if he didn't trust his knowledge of Christ. So, let's get into the scripture. Now that we've got a background on Timothy, I'm going to concentrate on verses 5-7. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is well, that it is in you as well. For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So again, we sort of see the background of Timothy from his grandmother's teaching and his mother's teaching. Even though his dad was Greek, he still had the good background from his grandmother and his mother. A lot of maturity have gone into that teaching and developing of Timothy, as well as what time that he spent with Paul. So, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So, the laying on of hands, these gifts, Holy Spirit gifts. I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit gifts and natural gifts in the same sort of context. So, God's given us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us gifts through the Holy Spirit. So, those of you who can speak in tongues, do you remember the first time that you spoke in tongues? Was it fluent? Did it come naturally? Did lots of it come out? Or was it little bits? And as you practiced it more, didn't those little bits become longer and greater? It's the same here. God gives us a gift, whether it's a natural gift or a Holy Spirit gift, but it's not what you would call full-blown. It has to be worked on. The gift of prophecy doesn't just come that you're speaking into people's lives. You have to work at it. You have to practice it. The gift of tongues, you have to work at it. You have to practice it. And Paul's saying here to Timothy, rekindle. So those that have got an open fire at home, multi-fuel burner, how do you get it to flare back up? You open the air vent. The air vent lets more air flow through. It rekindles. So you're having to go over. You have the air vent open fully to start with to get your fire going. Then you can turn it down once it's going. But to get it back up, you've got to open that vent. We've got to learn. So, natural gifts. Sam plays the guitar. He's not as good as he is because it's natural. He's as good as he is because it's natural and he practices. When I was younger, I first started playing rugby when I was 8. Played it for a year. Didn't particularly like it. Went because my mates played it. And I got into football until I got to grammar school. Rugby union was the sport at school. And I got back into it, although I started in rugby league. Played at school. To get in the team, you had to be good enough. You had to have at least a little bit of talent. Although I think there were days when they just grabbed a kid to come in because we were short. But I've always had a little bit of natural talent. Not a lot. I was never a fantastic player, but I had a little bit of talent. And I could maybe read a game. So, played at school level. As I'm getting to 16, 17, a few of my friends were playing at Morley Rugby Union Club. And invited me to go along. They only had one team for that age group. But what you had to do was you had pre-season. So you turned up and you started training before you started playing. A good few months. So not only were you learning skills, but you were building up your fitness. This is the same with the gifts. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to build it until you're ready to go out on the field and use it. And I remember playing at Morley. I played under 17s, played what they call Colts, which is under 18s. Once you got over 18, it was then senior rugby. The team that I'd been with dispersed amongst all the teams, and I ended up playing third team rugby. And I think there was only maybe two of the lads that I knew. I was like, don't really like this. Two guys that I'd grown up with, that I actually went to play rugby league with, their dad was a member of another rugby union club in Leeds called Leeds Corinthians, and I got invited to go there. I went there. They had two or three teams. if they could get enough players. Always had two teams. Straight into the second team. And before long, we're playing first team rugby. But before I could do that, I still had to train. I still had to prove my worth. I still had to get on that field and show those who were watching that I was good enough. So I had to be an example of a good rugby player to be trusted to be a good rugby player. And I ended up playing first team rugby until I joined fire service, and I played every position in the backs apart from standoff. And I even played as flanker in forwards. So I'd got a natural talent, but not good enough and specific enough to say that role's mine. But I still had to train and I still had to practice. I still had to be there pre-season and put the hard work in. If you don't put the hard work in, it's irrelevant. And I've seen guys within the rugby. Once I joined the fire service, I found it very difficult to maintain first team rugby because I couldn't train and I wasn't available every Saturday. So because I couldn't do the training, I couldn't be in the position that I wanted to be. But then God's good, innit? Fire service had a rugby league team. And I got time off work to play that. It was great. I once left a big mill fire in Cleckheaton to go play rugby. Shouldn't say that, but it was in the days when, before a lot of the cuts within the fire service, we were allowed to take overtime. If there were enough staff on, we were allowed to take time off to represent the fire service. We'd got a big fire Saturday morning. We'd left a lad on station cooking our dinner because we'd enough staff on. And one of my bosses, while we were at the fire, went to a phone box, rang the station up, told him to get his fire kit in van, come to fire to relieve me and another lad so we could play rugby. But you don't get in that position without the training and the practice. And when we do it, we've got to do it. It's not for our benefit. It's for benefit for those out there. And it's a benefit for you guys. So any gifts that I've got are a benefit for you. They're not for me to use to say, look at me. And a good example of how not to do it, if you look at Samson in the Bible. He didn't use the gifts that God had given him for God's glory till right at the end. He did everything that he wasn't supposed to do. As a Nazarite, he drank, he ate unclean food, and when he finally said about having his hair cut, God said enough. But God doesn't take away your gifts. If God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it away. There's nowhere in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit gifts are taken away from anyone. If you don't use them, you become rusty. It's not that God's taking them away. You're not keeping up to what God's wanting you to do. So, the gifts, fanning to flame, laying on of hands, is where the gifts came from. And we have spoken in the past about the Holy Spirit gifts, being filled with the Holy Spirit and those gifts coming out, so to speak. So next we move on to the, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love and discipline. So there's a couple of scriptures that show us that Timothy is a little bit on the timid side. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 and 11. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid. For he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. So, Paul spent a lot of time with him. He knows Timothy's character. So he knows that it can be a little bit timid, And I think maybe his youthfulness will have been a little bit of that, speaking in front of and speaking to and having to discipline people who were much older than him, who had been around the block a lot longer than him. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, which I've already spoken about, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself as an example to those who believe. So even though Timothy can be timid, he can also show who he is through speech, conduct, love, faith and purity. So the three things that are mentioned there about the Spirit not being of timidity, but of power, love and discipline. Just quickly look at these before I finish. Power. We look at Acts and we see what happened to Peter after he became baptized in the Spirit. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Can't do that without power of the Spirit. You can try, but it'll have no effect. And we know when Peter spoke, when the Holy Spirit came upon him in that upper room, many people got saved because of his boldness of speaking the gospel there and then and defending everybody that had come out, speaking in different languages, saying that they weren't drunk. They were just full of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 28:31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. When we've got the Holy Spirit, we can speak with that boldness and without hindrance. Love, I'm only going to quickly skirt on that. Matthew 22:36-39. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Pastor spoke a lot about that this morning, about love, loving one another and loving God. If you want to hear more, listen to Johnny's sermon this morning. discipline, the last one. And I think if you go back to what he's saying about fanning those, it's the practice. The practicing of those gifts and reading the word. We have to be disciplined in ourselves to be able to do this, to carry this on, to fulfill what God's got for us. So I hope that you've got something from this evening, that you're encouraged. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's some lanyards there if they want to be picked up, but there are people here that will pray with you for that filling of the Holy Spirit. Practice. It's all about practice. We can't get good at anything or be the person that God wants us to be without that practice. So, we've got our part to play. We've got to love. We've got to be disciplined. And God has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to love and be disciplined. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, which is part of your discipline. So, in conclusion, just as a foretaste of what we're going to look at next week, do not be ashamed is what we will look at next week. So hopefully I'll see most of you then. Thank you.